says in verse 41, those that gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. He goes on talking about that addition further, that these people were praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now, what happened here? Do we not see the same principles that are involved? We have a plan that is given, and that plan is to bring about salvation by grace. That grace is seen in that God gave his son, he gave the gospel, and he makes it possible that they could have remission of sins. Now, was that grace? None of those things could man do for themselves. God had to send his son. Why? Because no man had been without sin, and there had to be a perfect propitiation for us. That was given in Jesus Christ. And not only that, but had Jesus done that and we didn't know about it through the gospel, you and I wouldn't know how to receive that gift due to the fact that he had provided that price paid for our salvation. God, through his grace, gave the gospel to show us how it is that we come to him. And when he gave us that gospel, he provided for us not to have a few of our sins remitted. He provided for us to have the remission of sins completely, fully, all of our sins to be done away. Now, that's grace. But when he did that, he gave it conditionally. He says, what you need to do is repent, and you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Now, what happened? They were ones who had to believe that. How did they believe that? Verse 41 says, those that gladly received the word. Now, how's that involved with faith? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by what? By hearing, hearing by the word of God. When they gladly received that word, then what happens? They were baptized. What does that tell me? When they gladly received the word, that was by faith. They were ready to do whatever it was that God had said. And when he said, you repent and be baptized, they were. They repented and they were baptized. And what happened? What happened is they received the remission of their sins. Now, many of our Baptist friends say you believe in water salvation. You know what? I've never believed that the water saved me. And I've never heard a single gospel preacher preach that. I've never heard anybody say there's something magical in that water and you go down here and you'll be clean. What is it? It's a condition that was given of God. Why do we do it? Because God said so. Now, I may not understand why did he choose that. He tells me a little bit in Romans chapter 6. Well, let's just say I didn't read that and I don't know. Why would I need to do that? Because God said to. And if I want to receive that which is the grace of God, I have to meet the conditions that God gave. Now, if I believe him, what will I do? You know, if your child comes up to you and say, you know, you clean up your room and I'll give you your $5 allowance. And they come up and say, well, I believe that. I believe in that $5 allowance, but I'm not going to do that room. How much did they believe you? They didn't believe you. They liked the $5, but they didn't believe you because you put a condition in there. If there's an acceptance of faith in what one has said, one does that which is instructed, and that's exactly what one needs to do. And at that point, what do you have? You have obedience. And that's when it was that they came to that salvation. When they gladly received the word, they were baptized. Now, what happened at that point? Verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were what? Being saved. They came to that salvation as a result of hearing and believing and obeying that word. At that point, they were come to the salvation that's found in Jesus Christ. You see, grace requires obedience. Believing only is not enough. Man has to do something, and the something that he has to do is the work which God prepared beforehand for us to walk in it. Now, when we do that, we need to meet all of the conditions, not just some. I have no problem with anyone that wants to say we're saved by faith. I believe it, I'll amen it. Not long ago, I was over in the Philippines. We are up the northern end of the island of Cebu, and there were a bunch of denominational preachers we had lectures with. And we had finished talking about a number of things, opened it up for questions, and this one Baptist preacher raised his hand. I said, "Yes, sir." He says, "I just believe what Jesus said. And what he pointed out was the necessity of faith. John 3:16, and he read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And I looked at him, I said, "Amen, absolutely." He looked at me and he said, "You believe?" I said, "Absolutely." I quoted another few verses. "Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For all that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligent should seek him." I said, "Amen." He, "Amen." Read another two or three, and he amened every one of them. I said, "Now, 1 Peter 3:21 says this, 'The like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the appeal for a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.'" I said, "Amen." And he sat there. Looked at me, I said, "Amen." Shook his head, "No." I said, "There's our problem. I can amen every passage you talk about with regard to faith, because I believe it, that's essential. But you cannot amen the Word of God when it tells you what else you need to do. The fact that faith is essential cannot be disputed. That's a fact, but that's just one of those points. Man has to act to receive God's grace by meeting the conditions by faith in obedience to the will of God. That's very simple. I'm happy to tell you that when I